This morning, what we're doing is we are concluding our four-part series called Transformation U. We've been talking about making positive changes in our minds, our bodies, right? Our spirits, and this morning we're talking about our lives, tying it all together. And we started off talking about our minds. Transformation comes when we change the way that we think. So important. It's like everything just starts right here, doesn't it? I mean, man, between these two ears is where it all begins. And it's so important that we change the way that we think. And then Wendy talked about caring for our bodies as an act of worship, experiencing physical transformation. And then last week we talked about transforming our spirits through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Wasn't that awesome? Yeah, I mean, just experiencing that infilling, indwelling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I mean, just it was a really, really great time last week. I loved praying for you guys. And how many people here received that filling of the Holy Spirit last week? Okay, so I would say, you know what? I mean, living without the baptism of the Holy Spirit is like, you know, going to war with no bullets in your gun, you know? And man, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so important. Holy Spirit leads us, illuminates God's word for us. And so it was just such a great week last week. If you missed it, you can catch the podcast. It's on the website, findmercy.org. But this morning, I want to pull it all together and talk about transforming our lives, you know, our whole lives. And from time to time, someone will ask me something like this. And I do life coaching, and I ask other people questions like this, but sometimes people will ask me questions like this: if you could snap your fingers and have the life you've always wanted, what would that look like, right? And you may have heard that question before, and I start to think about what might be different in my life from how it is now. Maybe I would travel more, or would I make more money? Would I be in better shape? You know, how would I feel in my emotions if I could snap my fingers and have the life that I've always wanted? What would my relationships look like, you know, if I had the life I've always... It's so funny, a lot of times when you ask people if you could have the life you've always wanted, their first thoughts go to, like, money. And I feel like, you know, one of the things that we often miss when we think the life that we've always wanted is we miss the relationship aspect. You know, because our relationships are so important. If you are a combination to the five people closest to you, what do those relationships look like? And so they're so important. And when it comes to the life you've always wanted, you know, most people could probably list a few things, right? They could list some things they'd like to accomplish in their lifetime, besides having $1,000,000,000, right? You could see kind of that their wheels turning in their mind, and they start to imagine maybe being healthier, maybe having more time, maybe experiencing life with like-minded people. The irony is this: 92% of people never achieve their goals. That's a huge percent. Only 8% of people living actually achieve their goals. That's crazy. That's a massive, like, failure rate, you know, in achieving our goals. And so 92% of people never achieve their goals. 78% of us never end up in careers that we wanted to work in when we were younger. Now, I'm thankful for that, because when I was a little kid, I wanted to be an ice cream man. And that's not quite the industry that it used to be. You know, back when I was a kid, just to show you how old I am, we had these vans that would... trucks that would go down our street, and they had a picture of a guy whose head was made up of soft serve ice cream, and he was called Mr. Softy. And Mr. Softy would come driving through my neighborhood, and he wore like a nice white shirt, kind of like they do at Whitey's and stuff, and the apron. Now it's like you stay away from that guy, because you're pretty sure he's selling ice cream and drugs, you know, out his van. I'm glad that career move did not work out for me. But yes, that's a huge percentage of people. 78% never end up in the careers that they wanted to work in when they were younger. One source that I read actually said that 98, that's like almost everyone, 98% of people die without fulfilling any of their dreams. That's massive. That's huge. I mean, gosh, that's like so heartbreaking. That's so disheartening to hear that. 98% of the people, wow. And when you ask people about life, They say things like, you know, life's a beach. You know, I actually used to have a T-shirt when I was in high school that said life's a beach, and then you go bald, right? So, I mean, you know what I'm talking about, right, Will? Yeah, uh-huh. So, you know, I mean, 98%. Where's all our bald guys? Where'd Ian go? You know, where's all our bald guys? Yeah, where's Eric? Yeah, there he is over there. Okay. So, yeah, a little solidarity. We should start like a bald small group. That would rock. So, you know, or people say things like, you know, life's a trip, or, you know, life is strange, life is hard, and then you die. You know, you might have heard people say things like that. But Jesus had a different idea about life. And when you read the Gospels, you read this Savior, you read about Jesus having this passion for life, right? And so his desire for life and for our lives is for us to walk in joy, right? For us to walk in lightness, to walk in hope. Jesus said that his burden is easy, his yoke is light. Jesus never intended for our lives to be these sort of, you know, slogging through, you know, carrying huge burdens and you know, life is hard and then you die. That was never Jesus' idea or Jesus' intention for your life or my life. And so, you know, he wanted us to experience life abundantly. And how do we experience that? How do we go from the life we're living now to that kind of life that Christ wants for us? You know, how do we experience the transformation in our lives? How can we move from where we are to a place of abundance and fulfillment? And so that's what I want to talk about as we wrap up the series. But first, let's pray real quick. God, we love you so much, and we praise you, and we thank you, Lord, that you want us to live a life of abundance. God, you want us to live a full and rich and satisfying life. That is your desire and your intent for us. So, God, we ask that you would let your word come alive in us. God, let your word produce fruit in us and change us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're gonna start off this morning. We're going to read one of my very favorite scriptures, and it's from John chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And we've talked about John 10:10 many times before, but I want to read 9 and 10. It says this. It says, "Yes, I am the gate," right? "Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures." Everybody say good pastures. Good pastures, yeah. And it says in verse 10, "The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy." And Jesus says this line is some of my favorite words of Jesus. Jesus says this, "My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." Wow. He says, "My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." Jesus didn't say, "My purpose is to come and help you get through this life so that you can be in heaven someday." It's not what Jesus said, all right? A lot of us, we read stuff like this, and we read good pastors, and we read rich and satisfying life, and we go, yeah, someday in the sweet by and by. Yeah, in Beulah land, whatever that is, you know, in heaven, you know. And we think that Jesus is talking about heaven. Jesus is talking about here and right now, okay? We have to understand that. Jesus didn't say, "My purpose is to give people a way to get to heaven." But it's life. He wants you to have life, and he wants you to have life right here and right now. Wow. What a loving Jesus. Isn't he awesome? Isn't he loving? We're talking about the reckless love of God. It wasn't simply to save us, but also to give us life. To give us life. And so he doesn't want you to live a life of frustration. Jesus doesn't want you to live a life of loneliness. He doesn't want you to live a life of anxiety. He wants you to find what? Good pastures, right? Good pastures. And in John 10:10, the word life that Jesus uses is actually a word that is pronounced zoe. It's a Greek word, zoe. And what this zoe life means actually is satisfying. He says, my purpose is to give you life. It means full of vitality. When was the last time we felt full of vitality in February, right? He says, full of vitality. active. It actually means, when Jesus says, I came to give them life, it actually means active, not passive, not sitting in front of the TV set, not consuming, right? Because you can't be active and consume at the same time unless you're actively consuming. But it's an active life. It's a life that's full of vitality, and it's blessed. So Jesus says, I came to give them life. I came to give them satisfying, full of vitality, active and blessed life. What a good Savior, right? I mean, that's awesome, okay? And so if you remember one thing this morning, remember this. The life you've always wanted can only be found in walking with Jesus. That's it. There is no other way. The life that you've always wanted, that life abundant, that life that's satisfying, that's full of vitality, that's active, that's blessed, can only be found in walking with Jesus, okay? And you know, have you ever wondered why we have so many miserable billionaires? You know, when you have people that literally can, like, snap their fingers and have anything that you and I could ever want, right? And they commit suicide, and they're miserable, and they're depressed, and their marriages are falling apart, and their kids are falling into addiction. Have you ever wondered why? Because the life that everyone is pursuing can only be found in following Jesus. That's it. That's the only way. And it's not about doing it your way. A lot of people, they think that a fulfilled life or a successful life or a transformed life is doing it their way. You know, I did it my way, Frank Sinatra, you know. I did it my way. Listen, just hear this. I did it my way is the biggest pile of horse crap that our world has ever swallowed. Okay? All right? It leads to emptiness, and it leads to going, well, I have everything I've ever wanted, yet I'm miserable. I don't know why. Okay? And so don't fall into that. It can only be fun. You know, it's not about doing it your way. It's not about trying to measure up. You know, we look at other people, well, they own a nice house, or they own a nice car, or they dress nicer, or their kids are better looking than mine. You know, it's not about that. It's not about sort of this Hollywood measure of success, right? You ever watch TV or you watch a movie or something and somebody goes into success and all of a sudden, you know, they go from one scene to, like, you know, dressing kind of shabby and driving an old car, and they're successful now, and look, now they have sunglasses because apparently they didn't exist back then, and now they're, you know, driving a nicer car, and now they have money, and now people love them and esteem them because they have all this stuff. That is a lie. It's a lie. And people use our desire for, like, more worldly stuff and consumer goods, they use that as a way of going, that's how you're going to have a happy life. Listen, they just use that image because they want to sell you something. It's not because you will actually have a happy life. And so it's not about that Hollywood picture of success. Because here's the thing, the happy life, the Zoe life, the fulfilled life, the abundant life that Jesus wants you to have is way, 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 way more real than that. That's superficial. That's not even real, okay? That's not how you're going to find happiness. Because happiness, a true life, an abundant life, it just can't be found apart from Jesus. Just plain and simple, you know? And you may get to do some of the things that you've always wanted to do. You may get to have some more stuff than the other person, but at the end of the day, that stuff is shallow, and it's just going to leave you wanting more stuff, okay? And so in John 11:25, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is saying, listen, I'm the life. I'm the life that you've always wanted, okay? And anyone who believes in me will live. And then Jesus says, even after dying. So not only will you experience life abundantly here, but even after your body dies, you'll experience life forever. That's awesome. That's so much better. Scripture says, how does a person gain? What gains a man if he gains the whole world, but he loses his soul? Right? Y'all have heard that, right? You know, what benefits a person if you gain the whole world? If you have everything that the world can say is you know, success, but then you lose your soul in the process. And so it can't be found apart from Jesus. So what are some of the things that we can learn from Scripture that'll help us walk this out, walk this transformed life, okay? Listen, if we're going to walk a transformed life, the first thing we have to understand is we got to treat time as the precious commodity that it is. Time is a precious commodity. So, you know, it's funny. I know the days are long, but the months fly by, don't they? You know, time is a precious commodity. And Psalm chapter 90, verse 12 says, "Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom." And so it's wisdom to treat time as precious and not to waste it. Benjamin Franklin put his own spin on it. I like the way Ben Franklin said it. There's a reason why he's on the 100 and not the 1. Okay? Smart, smart guy. He said, "Dost thou love life? Then do not squander time, for that is the stuff life is made of." Yeah, you know, it seems like they are always coming up with new ways to squander time. There's always new ways. Man, listen, if you don't know how you can waste time, just wait a few minutes. Somebody will come up with something. You'll be walking around catching Pokemon. That's what you'll be doing. You'll be playing, you'll be on Farmville a couple hours. There's always ways to squander time. There's no shortage of ways to squander time in our world, and it's just sad. It really is. Don't squander time, for it's the stuff life is made of. I think, honestly, of this generation, and gosh, I'm just sounding so old by saying this. I just turned 48 like a month ago. Ancient, yeah, I know. I know. I like to tell myself every year, like, no matter how old I get, at each birthday, I go, I'm barely at the halfway point. I'll be telling myself when I'm 60 that I'm at the halfway point. And so I believe I'm going to live to 120. But, you know, there's always coming up with ways. And I really think that of this generation, that wasting time is just one of the most heinous sins of our culture. Because we don't get that time back. And when we, you know, you might spend a few hours, you know, conquering the next level of your favorite video game, and that's cool and everything, but you're not going to ever get that time back. And you know what? When you're 60, you're not going to look back at that time and go, "That was time well spent. Yes. That 8-hour stint I pulled so I can make it to level 50 was so worth it." No, that's not what's going to happen. In fact, you look back at the end of your life and you'll go, "I wish that I would have spent that time building meaningful relationships with people. I wish that I would have spent that time serving my community and expanding the kingdom of God." Now, listen, those things in our, you know, in moderation, they're not bad, you know, so I'm not coming down on you. But God offers this incredible life, and we only get one chance. And it's so important that we don't waste those days and that time on things that don't matter, because they don't matter, right? And so, like I said, those things in our moderation, they're not bad. But don't let them consume more hours than they should. No, let wisdom be your guide, all right? So if you're like, "Hey, man, I watched a movie yesterday. Are you condemning me for that?" No, I'm not. I'm not. Because I watched stuff yesterday too, right? Both of us did. So if I'm guilty, so are you, honey. So you made me. You watched more TV than I did yesterday. No. So in moderation, they're not bad. But they you know, they can consume more hours than they should. And so when the lives of those who are actually like living their dreams were examined, they found actually like 7 things. Remember how I said like only about 2% of people actually live their dreams. And when they were examined by scientists and people who examine things like that, they found 7 things, 7 habits that were common among all the people that actually are living their dreams. And the first thing that they found among these 7 habits is that they get up 3 hours before work so they can take care of themselves mentally, physically, and spiritually before starting their work day. So if they had to be to work at 9, right, they were up at 6 so that they can pray and they can exercise. And they can take care of themselves spiritually, mentally, and physically before heading off to work. And so that was one thing. You know, but a lot of people, what do? We roll out of bed. We jump in the shower super fast. And we tear out of here. You know, we got to get to work. Because, you know, maybe we stayed up too late and we didn't get enough sleep and all those things. But they got up 3 hours before work so they can take care of themselves. The other habit they found is that they spend an average of less than an hour a day being entertained. Less than an hour a day being entertained. In other words, less than an hour a day scrolling through this or doing this thing or watching TV. They spent less than an hour a day. They read, this is the third thing, they read for personal and professional growth almost every day. Almost every day they read for personal and professional growth. And if they have to commute to work and they drive back and forth to work, what they do is they listen to audiobooks and things like that that will help them grow personally and professionally, rather than listening to sports radio on the way to work or just listening to, you know, K-Love. I don't know. I'm not bashing K-Love, but I am. No, I'm just kidding. But they spent those downtimes, like when they're driving, when they have the opportunity, they would spend those times for edification rather than just for being entertained. And you know what? The news is entertainment too. May I just say that? I mean, some of you guys might like totally disagree with me when I say this, but listen, the news is the closest thing. Oh, I'm sorry, you work on a news program. Listen, the news is the closest thing to reality television without actually being reality television. It's entertainment. It doesn't help you grow. It doesn't, you know, all it does is give you water cooler talk, fodder. And so I'm not saying live an uninformed life, but I am saying if you're spending an hour on your way to work listening to news, an hour on the way back listening to news, you're wasting your time. And in fact, if you read my blog, I've got a blog post coming in the next couple days talking about the news. I'm going to lay down some facts. I'm going to lay down the hard truth, and you won't believe what happens next. But the other thing that they did is they didn't play the lottery. They don't gamble. They don't play the lottery. Because an abundant life is not dependent on luck. If you think that some sort of luck is going to bring you into an abundant life, into a happy life, into a life fulfilled, you're completely wrong. So that was the other thing with, successful people. They're living their dreams. They don't play the lottery. The other thing is they don't broadcast their opinions. Okay? We live in a world full of people broadcasting their opinions. They don't broadcast their opinions. Okay? Not on Facebook. Not on Twitter, they don't broadcast their opinions because broadcasting your opinions doesn't help anybody. It doesn't get people to take your side. It doesn't get people to think about it, okay? They don't broadcast their opinions. So people who are living their dreams don't broadcast their opinions, okay? When they're with other people, they're not distracted. That when they're with other people, they're present. That's something, a characteristic, a habit they found of people who are living their dreams. So they're present. And so if you're with somebody and you're sitting across the table with them, you're out for coffee and they're doing this, take your coffee to go. Okay? That's not being present. That doesn't honor you. That's a hyperbole. When I go to the post office, I love that they actually have a sign behind the counter that says, please put away your phone before approaching the counter. I love that because it honors other people to be present with them. Be present with them. It was so sad. Wendy and I went on that. We have a date night once a week, and we went to a restaurant, and it was actually a girl's birthday. We knew that because they were saying happy birthday. But every member of that family sat around the table staring at their phones the entire time. And, you know, here's the irony behind that. Every one of them looked miserable. They were there for someone's birthday, and they all looked so unhappy, and they were all doing this. Listen, if you want to live an abundant life, be present when you're with other people, okay? And you have my permission that if I take out my phone while I'm talking to you, you have my permission to go, put it away. Put it away, Lee. Put it away, or I'll knock it out of your hand. Okay? So, be present. The other thing about that they found about people who are living their dreams is that they don't blame or make excuses when they're not living their dreams. When they're not succeeding, they don't blame or make excuses. You know, they're not like, oh, my boss was a jerk or so-and-so ripped me off. You ever notice some people, it's like they just live from hard luck to hard luck and it's never their fault? Oh, dear Lord. You just want to smack them upside the head, right? You know, listen, successful people don't blame other people when their expectations aren't met. If your expectations aren't met, stop, examine yourself, take a look at the job that you did, take a look at how hard you tried, take a look and examine, use it as an opportunity to grow and learn, and you know what, next time you'll do better. So stop blaming other people. And so they understand that life, or time is a precious commodity, and they spend time wisely, getting up 3 hours early, not wasting time broadcasting their opinions. Because, you know, when you do that, you have to take time to then respond to people who disagree with you and all that garbage. They take that time during their commutes to grow. They read instead of spending 3-4 hours a night watching television. And so they treat time as a precious commodity. All right? Okay, number two. Use your words to bring life to your life. We've talked about this before. Use your words to bring life to your life. Proverbs 18:21 says the tongue can bring life or death, right? Your tongue, the words that you speak, can bring life or death. And if you, it's not humility to put yourself down. It's not, you're not being, humble by speaking negative things about yourself. That's not humility. That's not how Jesus sees you, right? Okay? If you're negative and you're a complainer, your life is going to suffer from that. Your life will suffer. Your complaints aren't going to make anything better. Solutions make things better, not complaints. Okay? And so, negativity, it's like it saps your joy. It drains you. Negativity will taint your perception. If you get in the habit of speaking negatively, what happens is you rewire your brain and it changes the way that you see the world. Okay? It changes your perception. So when you're complaining and you're negative, some of you guys, I know, because you've told me that it's very difficult at your work because there's a group of people or a core of people that just complain all the time. They just complain about the management because, of course, the management doesn't know what they're doing, right? These are guys who, can solve all the world's problems but can't even run their own lives, you know? And so, listen, all that stuff will taint your perception. And not only does it, wear you out and taint your perception, it wears down the people around you. Trust me. It wears down the people around you, all that negativity. Use words that bring life to your life, even if you don't feel it. If you're like, I'm not feeling that, though, do it anyway. It's kind of like working out, right? It is. Instead of working out your muscles, you're working out your brain. And so some people are like, well, that's not authentic. Bullcrap, okay? Saying that's not authentic is just an excuse to keep being negative. Knock it off, all right? Be positive, okay? Use your words. Speak positively. Pay compliments. Practice gratitude. Okay? If you're kind of sitting there going, well, I can't think of anything to be thankful for, make something up. All right? Because it'll change your brain. It'll change the way that you think. Okay? Hey, you know what? If you got 2 feet, if you got 2 hands, you can be thankful for something. You can be thankful that there's a roof over your head. You know, and so find something, be thankful. Your feelings then will follow your words. Because that's the way that it works oftentimes, right? Your feelings will follow your words. Your joy level will rise, and your life will eventually reflect your words. That's the way that our lives go. Our lives eventually reflect our words. So if we're always speaking death, if we're always speaking complaints, if we're always saying things like, oh, I'm just getting old, I'm just too old, I'm just too weak, I'm just not smart enough, oh, that's just not me, that's just not my gift set, that's just not blah, 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 blah. Listen, your life's going to reflect that. But when you turn around and you go, you know what, I can do all things through Christ, God is in me. The greater is He who is in me than He is in the world. Man, Jesus, He loves me. His love for me is reckless. He chases me down. He fights till I'm found, right? There's no mountain He won't climb up. There's no wall He won't kick down. There's no shadow He won't light up. He's awesome. And we begin to speak those things because they're true. They're not a lie. They're true. And we begin to speak those things. Your thoughts will follow, your emotions will follow, and guess what? Your life will follow too. All right? It's so important to speak life into your life. And the last thing is this. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. If you want a transformation, you want to experience transformation in your life, you want to live life abundantly, guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Wow. Okay? Guard your heart. Really quickly, I want to talk about three ways that we can guard our hearts. The first thing is this. Guard your heart from garbage entertainment. Just guard your heart from that stuff. All right? Life is hard enough. It really is. Real life is hard enough. We don't have to fill our eyes and our thoughts with gratuitous violence, with sexuality. It's hard to be at peace with all that junk. Last night, Wendy and I, we watched a show that was like super highly recommended. You gotta check this out. And so we watched it, and we ended up turning it off halfway through, and we went to bed, and Wendy's like, I just feel icky from even watching half of that. Listen, it's hard to be at peace when you're filling your thoughts and you're filling your mind with garbage. And we got to stop using the excuse that all things are permissible and it's okay and I'm mature and blah, 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 blah. Whatever. Okay, that's fine. But it's not always wise. You know, Paul said all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. Would you rather live in that kind of gray area of permissibility but lack peace, but struggle in your thoughts? Or would you rather live in the area of it's beneficial and it's going to bring positivity in my life? I'm going to experience God. I'm not going to have all sorts of negative thoughts and feel like garbage for taking in that sort of entertainment. Okay? You don't have to fill your eyes with that stuff. You fill in your thoughts. The second thing is this. So first, guard your heart from just garbage entertainment. Okay? Second, guard your heart from distraction. And we talked about kind of wasting time earlier. You know, we live in a culture just full of distraction. And remember, the life that you've always wanted can only be found in Jesus. And so if there's something in your life that's stealing that focus, that's stealing that attention that belongs to Jesus, then get rid of it. If there's something in your life that's producing addiction in you, right? And you can be addicted to anything, right? You can be addicted to Facebook. You can be addicted to television. You can be addicted to video games. I mean, they've got detox centers now for people who are addicted to video games, you know? And so anything can cause addiction in you. And we need to guard our hearts from things that produce addiction in us, okay? And that can be anything. So be careful. Guard yourself from distraction, okay? And then the last thing is guard your heart in your relationships. Guard your heart in your relationships. Karen talked about the crappy man detector or the crappy woman detector, you know, being broken. And listen, we have got to understand and grab hold of the fact that we can be whole and happy without a man or a woman. You know what? Singleness is not a bad thing, right? In fact, Paul said, I'd rather you be single, but if you're going to burn with lust, then get married. So literally, singleness was the first option, the prime option, the option that is considered better. He said, but you know, if you're going to slip up in those areas, then you might want to think about getting married. Better to marry than to burn with lust, okay? Singleness is a good thing. And when we understand that singleness is a blessing, that singleness is actually the better of the two scenarios, when we understand that's a blessing, and then we meet somebody and maybe our crappy man detector or crappy woman detector isn't working, we can ask ourselves, is this person worth giving up the blessing of singleness for? They're not always worth it. They're not always worth it. But for some reason, we've got this nagging voice in the back of our head that says we've got to be paired up with somebody or there's something wrong with us or we're missing out. You're not missing out, okay? And so understand that singleness is a blessing. So guard your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart in your relationships. If that guy, if that girl isn't A, in love with Jesus, and B, provoking you to be more in love with Jesus, right? Dump him and don't look back. Dump him and don't look back. Don't be like, well, I'm worried about him. He might hurt himself if I walk away. He might hurt himself. You know. That's their problem, okay? Not yours. You are not responsible for, you know, what they might do if you break up with them. Stop using that as an excuse. Okay? Amen? Amen. Right. I say this because, listen, there's maybe like a handful of things. Let's say maybe there's a top five of things that I've seen in 20 plus years of ministry that have brought incredible misery into people's lives. I think it's top five. Wendy and I can name them pretty fast. Up there within that top five is relationships. Is relationships. Somehow or another, when we get into a relationship, when we meet somebody that makes our heart beat just a little bit harder, that kind of turns us on a little bit, you know, we meet somebody, it's almost like half our brain shuts off, you know. And listen to me. It's just going to bring misery in your life. It's just going to keep you from living the life that Jesus wants, that life abundant, that life of vitality, that active, that joyful, that blessed life. All right? Don't do it. Don't do it. Understand, singleness is a blessing. And so guard your hearts, for it determines the course of your life. All right? And so here's what I want to do today as we wrap this up. We're going to do this quickly. It's getting a little bit late. So we're